We have to have data structures that are consistent. We have to have data standards that are consistent and integrated into the system. We have to have messaging standards that enable us to go send data back and forth. So in the area of interoperability, there's kinds of different ways. There's semantic interoperability. Does the word mean the same? There's process interoperability, which is really, are we doing the same thing with the data? So what we want is to get beyond just, is the word the same? We also want to know the contextual knowledge of that word and of that data set so that we can go to the next level of interoperability. So you are totally right. It's a stair step. Most private and public partners are starting up the stairs. We're pretty early in this. And I always say to people, and I tell Dr. Fritzma at ONC this, it's hard work. It's really hard work. It's not very sexy. It's really hard work to figure out, does this data set mean, this data name over here mean the same as it does over here? You know, as the nation goes to ICD-10, we're all going to be struggling with this because that's about nomenclature and standards applied to what we have traditionally known as diseases. Huge issue.
And what is ICD-10?
ICD-10 is the International Classification of Disease. We've been on ICD-9 in the U.S. Most of the world has been on 10. We're moving to ICD-10, not just the federal. The entire healthcare arena is moving to ICD-10. There's lots of concerns there. I think that they're overcomable, and actually, from a clinical perspective, we need to go to 10. 10 gives us a lot more granularity. So all of a sudden, if you had one word to name, and I'm just making this up, heart attack, you may now have 50 words because now it's a heart attack with cough or a heart attack with congestive heart failure or a heart attack with chronic kidney disease. So you now know a lot more about what's wrong with this patient because you have more granular and specific data. But think about it. If everybody's been on ICD-9, we've been coding on ICD-9, so that's the standard. That would be the code. Now we're moving to ICD-10. At the same time, there's another classification of diseases called SNOMED. And SNOMED is much more granular, and it's where we believe clinically we also need to go. So we have lots of competing priorities and a need to converge. The beauty of what the DoD and VA is doing, in my opinion, is we are at the sharp end of the stick. We are out there trying to make this work. We have 7 domains right now that we're sharing information in. They're the typical domains, medications, allergies, vital signs, things you would think of are critical to the healthcare delivery space. If we figure that out and we figure out how to do that well, efficient, effective, how to consume that data and integrate, it benefits the entire health IT space. Its benefit is far beyond just the federal community.
All right, so we know what questions you're grappling with right now in your office. What actions have you been able to take, again, since this whole big episode where it was really thrown into the spotlight, particularly on Capitol Hill in the spring?
So, what we're doing is committing to interoperability, committing to sharing our records with DoD, working closely with DoD in the IPO, the Interagency Program Office space still, around interoperability, around data sharing, figuring out how, for both of us, we will consume data from external partners. You know, we do have a commitment to VLR, our Virtual Lifetime Electronic Record. That is the mechanism by which we consume data from outside partners, working closely with the Office of the National Coordinator. At the same time, we have a commitment to use a lot of the work that happened within the IPO structure for requirements to help inform both DoD and VA's decision as we move ahead with our own health IT system. So, for instance, when we look at lab and we look at lab requirements and we spend a lot of time with our clinical communities developing those requirements, we see that there's a lot of consistency, like you would expect, right? We kind of practice medicine the same. Obviously, we practice it in different places and perhaps with different end users. But overall, we hopefully practice medicine similarly. So we are informing a lot of our work, and I speak only for the VA here, from within the VA by the work that was done previously conjointly with what we call our clinical program teams. They came together, both DOD and VA, established wonderful relationships, which we still have and are still very grateful to the DOD for that relationship we have with them within the clinical community. And we will be using that as we move ahead with what we call VISTA Evolution. And that's our evolving of what people know as either CPRS or VISTA, our health IT system, to the next level.
We're speaking with Dr. Terry Cullen, who until recently was the Acting Deputy Director of the Department of Defense, Department of Veterans Affairs Interagency Program Office, and she also leads Veterans Health Administration's Health Informatics Service Areas. Now, catch me up a bit on what VA is doing to the VISTA system, because you are also trying to modernize it, even though at least on Capitol Hill, a lot of lawmakers have said, you know, of the two, VA is far above, you know, far beyond where DOD is when it comes to these electronic health records.
So what we know, what we know is that the clinical community keeps having additional needs. So whereas 10 years ago it might have been mega cool that you had CPOE, computerized provider order entry, the next step is computerized provider order entry that's smart, that helps guide me, that decreases my ability to make poor decisions and it increases my ability to make the right decisions. That results in cost savings, more efficient care, but it actually results, hopefully, in you having a better health status, which is what this is all about. So a lot of the work we're going to do with VISTA Evolution is related to that. It's recognizing that continuum of care is critical, continuity of care. The time that we do care transfers when you are, I'm caring for you and now you go to another physician, those are really high risk times for you as a patient. So what we want to do is embed patient safety in there. Basically say, you know, we're going to make sure nothing gets lost here. We're going to improve our usability, which means for the end user of the system. And remember, our end users aren't only clinical. They're also our patients because they use Blue Button and they use our personal health record and they're using our mobile apps, caretakers of traumatically injured patients have an application now on an iPad to help care for that person. So our usability is really about anything that somebody else touches. You know, so it's not code in the back. It's what I see when I'm there. We're also involved in expanding our barcode. Barcode is, you know, how you recognize somebody. It's a scanner, you know, when you check out at the grocery store. We have those same scanners in the hospital. How do we make them more effective? How do we use them to not only track pharmaceuticals, which is what we've always done, but are there other ways to track them? Can we track OR time, operating room time, somehow and make that more efficient through scanning of instruments and turnover and stuff like that? So we have lots of really exciting things that are going to happen that, once again, we are working, obviously, to improve the health status of our veterans. But we believe that all that work, which will be open source and available to the public, will help inform the health IT arena, inform vendors as we move forward, really, to what should be the next step of health IT.
It's so clear from here in Washington that this is clearly the direction that, healthcare should go, but I can imagine that those on the ground in hospitals, doctors or nurses or whatever, they might not have time or the training to be able to use this or to be able to spend the time doing it. So how is VA preparing or how have you prepared the people on the ground?
You know, it's actually a really important point, and I spent most of last week thinking about that deployment training. What do we do? I think the one thing is that we know health IT can be disruptive. And disruption can be positive, so you can have positive disruption or negative disruption. Obviously, we're going for the positive. But I think in addition, what we know is that if we focus on usability, so it's easy. So you come in and it's almost intuitive. Probably not. You know, there is a generational thing in medicine just like there is anywhere else. So I want to say probably not for me, but perhaps for new physicians. It's intuitive. They get it. They get where the button should be. They just like are like screaming, why can't you make this so, you know, I can scan across the screen as opposed to arrow down and arrow up. So a lot of stuff like that. So we make it more usable. We embed patient safety in it. And what we know is that providers want to do good. And their goal is to make sure their patients do well. So if we give them tools make the impact, the negative impact on their day-to-day process minimal, and they see improved outcomes, they'll almost always embrace them. Obviously, what we would like is to have a tool that's so intuitive that we just give it to you. You know, it would be like you were a three-year-old and your three-year-old knew how to use the iPhone. Wouldn't that be cool? I don't think we're there yet. Medicine's a little more complicated, but I think the real goal is to try to figure out how to embed the usability in there. And also warn people that disruption can be positive, that many of us in medicine, it happens to me even because I still provide care. You can sometimes walk in and think, oh, I know what's wrong with you. I don't have to really do much. We always have to remind ourselves there's this thing called anchoring in medical decision making, that I anchor what happens to you on all my previous things. You know, I know where I anchored thought before, so I come in. So what we want to do is ensure that we don't do that with a patient, that you're a novelty. You're a new patient. I need to look at you with new eyes. Even if I've taken care of you for 20 years, you're still new on this visit and things may have changed. So we need to give them health IT tools that support that kind of approach to the delivery.